Up for Grabs, a podcast where three unfiltered friends talk about anything and everything. And now, here are your hosts, Tracy, Kim, and Rachel.
Welcome to Up for Grabs. I'm Rachel. I'm here with my friends Kim.
Hello.
And Tracy.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Well, you already know that I'm going to say my allergies are acting up. That's why you looked at me and said, how are you? Because
I was waiting to see if you're going to
say something because I sound very nasally as opposed to my normal radio voice. I always sound like this. I probably sound the exact same. But to me, it's very nasally. So
well,
sorry.
I think you sound great. I don't know if you can tell my voice that I'm struggling a little bit. If my voice suddenly goes low, like a Barry White sort of low,
nice.
I'm not trying to do that, but it does happen every once in a while because I haven't had a cold in a really long time, and I'm feeling it.
All right. Yeah.
What's
your ailment?
Yeah.
I have allergies too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you sound perfectly normal.
Well, it's just itchy in the back of my throat. So if I cough or
don't say
whatever. never mind. Wow. I'm not going to say it.
Thank you.
You can't see Tracy right now, but it looks like you might have some cute new glasses.
Well, since you mentioned
I love
it. I'm showing some, not to brag, but I'm showing some signs of early macular degeneration. So I got new glasses that have transition lenses.
Oh, do they really?
Like they get darker.
Yes.
So that to help, so with they're that? Progressive transition lenses.
Oh, that screams 50s, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
They're adorable, though.
Thanks.
They really are. I think that,
I got them off a website.
What is it called?
And they came from a different country, I'm certain. But progressive transition with the frames, $120. So who's complaining? Not me.
So with your your specific...
With my prescription...
Well, okay, you gotta tell us the name of the website.
I believe it's Zelu. I'll have to look at Zeelool, I think is what
okay.
it is.
Okay, well, they are cute.
And they're a little bit extra. Like, obviously, you can't try them on, so they're a little bit big. I'm not gonna lie.
You're saying a little bit extra, meaning not money wise, but like looks.
No, in looks. Like
Sally
like,
Jesse?
Yes.
I'm in.
I know.
I like them.
So, yeah.
No,
so
I like them.
They're fun, they're different, and they serve a purpose. So whatever.
Yes. And when you get to be a woman of a certain age, Kim, that has light colored eyes, that's when the eye doctor will start telling you that you should be wearing sunglasses at all times.
He tells me that every time.
Yeah,
me too. I've never worn them.
Eyes are very sensitive with even when it's overcast. Maddie and I are the blue eyed girls in the family.
I don't like to wear sunglasses though. I don't like to be blind.
I don't mind wearing sunglasses.
Well, I like to wear prescription sunglasses, but prescription progressives are expensive. So this was the cheaper
route.
That's
true. I have contacts, so I can do that. But with the eclipse yesterday, being a blue-eyed, it was hard. And not that I was staring up, but I'm saying just in the in-between when, you were just kind of enjoying just the outside.
Yeah.
It was hard. Are we going to discuss the eclipse for a minute before we get into today's episode?
I feel like since we were in the path of totality.
I have said that so many times.
Just makes me seem like I know something about it. Really, what I do want to say about the eclipse is that I admit prior to the eclipse, I might have been the person that was saying, I get it. It gets dark. It gets light. I don't
care.
You
and Joe as well. We called Joe an eclipse hater.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Well,
not me. I was so excited.
Me too.
I was not excited about it at all. And I will also say that if we didn't happen to live in a place where I could go in my backyard and see it, I don't think there's any way in the world I would have traveled somewhere to get in the totality thing.
I agree. That being said, there will be one in 2044, and it will be in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana.
My sister said she's going.
If I'm still around, I might make the journey.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm going to be dead by then.
Well, I probably will be too, but in the event I'm not, I might be there.
Well, the good news is that I'm willing to say that I'm embarrassed that I downplayed it, that when we were out, it was me and my mom and my husband were out in our backyard with our silly little glasses on, and it was one of the most spectacular things I have ever witnessed in my life.
It was just like, like every time you looked and it would be like different, like it had moved.
I love the way that it looked. I foolishly thought that it was going to be pitch black. because I'm just not a big science person, you know, and I didn't realize the glow was.
And the
when it was totality or whatever. But I loved like the horizon, like the 365. It was we had a beautiful day. And Joe, I will say, is a believer now.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
He like completely changed his entire
dropping.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the coolest things
I agree.
And Rob was saying that he talked to somebody that was watching, I don't know, in somebody's yard, but they were like on a farm, and after the eclipse, like the totality, and it went away, that the roosters cock-a-doodle-dood again. Like
we were aware of birds chirping, but I thought, I didn't realize that kind of went away.
But it was almost like, can you imagine being a rooster and be like,
yes,
wait a minute, I feel like I just did this.
I don't even feel like I slept. I feel like that every day, rooster friend. I have to give a shout out to my sister, Angie. Yesterday was her birthday, and you know, she's one of our very loyal listeners.
Angie.
What a fun day to have a birthday.
And I'm also going to make a little bit of fun of her.
Oh, good.
She had the funny line of the day yesterday, because we got together, several of us, and we'd had like Malibu and pineapple because we were being festive.
Yes.
And this was like, it had been like halfway maybe at this point, you know, on the way. And she said, I think it may end up coming a little early. We all got hysterical. We're like, I'm pretty sure NASA said like 3:04. Like, what gives you? She's like, I don't know. I don't know why I said it, but she just had that feeling that
it might
come a little early. She felt like things were moving along, progressing.
Well, that is interesting that you say that, because one of the things that I did think was fascinating is someone is smart enough to figure out when it was exactly going to happen.
It's very weird.
I think I'm like, who knows that?
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
I can't time getting to work on time every day, and I go there 5 days a week. So I don't know how that can be a thing.
Well, good for them for figuring it out.
Yeah.
We all benefited from it.
It was so
good. Good job, scientists.
But although, you know, Rob was saying like the last time it happened was what, like 1869 or something. And he's like, wouldn't you think if you were alive in that period of time when it happened that you would think the world was ending?
I think they did think
that.
They absolutely did. I watched it with my family yesterday. My brother Tim's just a big history nerd, and he said that people truly did think that was a signal, because conspiracy theorists, you know, thought yesterday was going to prove to be something, or a solar flare or whatever. But it all stems from not knowing what that is, and thinking that was a sign of God.
Well, and I still think it is a sign of God, but,
But
even though I knew it was coming and they told me what it was going to look like, I was taken by it. So I can only imagine people 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have been losing my mind.
All the retinas burned. They didn't have any of those glasses.
No, they did not. But I don't think they lived as long as we did, so they probably didn't live long enough for the retina damage to come through.
They were already almost... their macular degeneration had already killed them.
It's already happening. They did not have their new glasses.
Are there any other takes on the eclipse before we move on? It was spectacular.
It was.
Two thumbs up.
We say 10 out of 10.
Yes.
We'll look at it again.
Yes.
Okay, well, today on Up for Grabs, I also wanted to... Before we get into that, side note again, I wanted to... comment that I received more kind comments about our last podcast on grief than I have had on any of our other podcasts. And I was shocked, because I thought, boy, we're Debbie Downers. I mean, who wants to listen to us talk about that? I was told by at least 5 people how well done it was and how it helped them or rang true to them or whatever. And, you know, thanks for tackling that tough subject. And I was like,
I had a message from my cousin who was like, bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, a lady
but that's a good, not a bad thing.
No,
you know, sometimes you just got to feel that, you know.
And imagine how hard she'd laugh if she listened to a funny one.
I know. Well, actually, she did. She, for lunch, she was walking 2 miles every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to use that to catch up on our podcast. And towards the end, she's like, you got to get some new episodes. Like, I'm all caught up.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think it just proves that we... need to talk. I'm not going to word it the right way. Once the subject's brought up, people want to talk about it.
Correct. They just don't want to be the person to bring it up.
Yes. And it's a hard subject to talk about, but it just shows that, I don't know, it's just something that we all experience it.
Yes.
So there's something we all have in common.
Well,
I heard from a friend, Chris, and hello, Chris, and that I hadn't heard from for in forever. And I'm just, you know, it was a way to reconnect. And yeah.
Well, good.
So, yeah, I think yeah, good things are happening. A lot of positives out of it.
Good things are happening when people listen to our podcast.
That's right. That's the bottom line.
And so today on Up for Grabs, we will be discussing all things Quiet on the Set, the documentary that was just released maybe last month about Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon and all the child actors that were under his watch.
Yep.
Or not. I had a chance to watch it. I just watched the, like, I didn't realize there was one more episode. The fifth episode was, it aired on Monday.
I did, but it was different. I watched it last night.
Yeah, it was Soledad O'Brien was like interviewing some people.
I did not watch that one.
Okay.
No. It wasn't that informative.
Okay.
You didn't
okay.
miss anything.
I did not watch that.
Yeah,
I
I'm not really, now that you say that, I mean, I picked up a few things here and there, but I don't know why they did it.
No.
Okay.
It seemed extra.
Thank you.
Without bonus and benefit. Okay. That was cruel.
In other words, just watch episodes one through four.
You'll get what
yeah.
you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yes. that has everything you need. And I think the thing that attracted, and it's bad to say it attracted me to watch it, but is that those were the shows our kids were watching.
Yeah.
And I, there's just something different about knowing that you thought it was a good idea for your kid to watch a show and really have all the, not all, but most of the kids on the shows be that poorly treated and not okay.
Yes.
Yes. I read the Jeanette McCurdy book that came out before
this. She was on
this.
Good Luck Charlie, right?
No, she was no. Sam I mean, from iCarly.
I mean, iCarly. Gosh darn it. Yeah. yeah. I get them all confused.
And it's a horrible name of the book. What is it? I'm Glad My Mom Died. Something like that.
Yeah.
So she obviously had a poor relationship with her mom. But she may have kind of opened the door a little bit because she, in her book, didn't say Dan Schneider's name. I'm sure she was afraid of the repercussions legally of saying it. She just called him the creator, and he was the creator of iCarly, so everybody knew who she was talking about.
Right.
But just the fact that she, even as an adult, feared him to the point that she didn't even want to say what his name was.
And I don't think, and I didn't read the book, so, and I may have zoned out on some of it. He did not physically do anything to her, correct?
No, he was
but
just creepy.
But he was creepy and weird, and she didn't like being around him.
Yes.
And he would...
He's a groomer, like a professional groomer.
Yeah, he would say and have them do things in the show that on the surface just looked like whatever it was, but had a different context to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about one of the big one in particular?
No.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just how he always had feet and everything.
Yeah.
And that I didn't even realize Nickelodeon's logo, part of it, at one time they showed it in the, you don't remember that?
No.
The Nickelodeon logo was a foot. You'll have to Google that, but I'll they showed it. It was like on the outside of their building.
Okay.
And I'm so naive that even when I mean, I remember kind of seeing it and I thought, well, that's weird. I don't like feet are gross.
Some of it seemed like a stretch to me. I think a
I
lot
agree
of it,
too.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of it horrible. And I 100% believe that a lot of horrible things happened, but then there was some of it that I'm like, I don't know that like, was there a foot fetish thing happening there? Probably. Probably. Yes.
Yeah.
But then some of it, I'm like, if there wasn't the other context, the other, like, knowing that the other things happened,
you could
would that look like it? To me, no. Mm-mm. It was only in conjunction with everything
else.
Yeah,
seeing it through a different lens and having people talk about it and explain it made you believe it.
Absolutely.
But you wouldn't see it if you just were sitting watching the show, because I think you can pick apart anything and make and you could say, well, that's a sexual reference or
right.
that. But he was, like with Ariana Grande, or just the way he positioned the girls,
right.
The way he had them, you know, some...
There's so much we can't say because I don't know how to say it without sounding gross.
I don't either,
gross.
And I don't want to sound... There was just sexual innuendos.
Yes.
That's what it was. And until it's, like, brought to your attention and you hear the behind the scenes,
right.
then you're like, oh, that is really gross, you know, that
right.
kind
One
of thing.
One thing that they did show in the documentary that I remember thinking, oh, my God, was... he was in a hot tub with Amanda Bynes when she was 12 and they were talking.
Yeah. And again, they were fully clothed.
They were, because you knew he knew what he was doing.
He did. And to my knowledge, I don't know. Has anyone said that he did something to them?
Like, no, not
that prosecutable. I don't know. Is that a word?
Sexual harassment, yes.
Yes, with the workers, with the female workers, with the kids.
Yeah.
I was just making them uncomfortable.
Everybody was uncomfortable.
Yes.
But I do want to make that clear that I haven't seen where, like, people, now there are others.
Other producers and different people, and
older men that have been caught and convicted and all. But him, I just thought the way everyone threw his name around, I thought he was Chester the molester, like, the whole time.
You just wanted to say that.
I think that
isn't that what you always called him? Is that just me?
Yes. No, it's not. Just okay. Yes.
Okay. Like, I just thought he was out there molesting everyone on Nickelodeon, which is not a fair rap in the sense of he can be a gross creeper and did some horrible things and he should be punished for those sins. But I don't want to put things on him that he didn't
do. Yeah, I don't recall anyone saying
no,
but I think it was a known thing that he had many fetishes.
Yes,
he sexualized as much as he could the scripts,
right?
And that he treated his women employees horribly.
Yes,
that scene when they were, I think it was the first episode, maybe it was the second. Well,
that's when they kind of highlighted that.
Yeah, when they talked to the two female writers, I felt sick to my stomach for them, because you totally can understand, because it's so easy to say, why would they put up with that? Why would they do that?
They
desperate
to get into the industry.
To get in that industry was so cutthroat, and they just wanted a chance to prove that they could write just as well as the guys.
Yeah.
And do you recall that they were sharing a salary?
Yeah.
Crazy. Who shares a salary?
Because I felt like they... At first, and I'm not going to lie, one of the girls rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I just was like, and then you have to take a step back and think, my profession is. I'm not trying to get into Hollywood. You're going to do anything that you can to have it be a stepping stone, that the right person sees something, that the right person, it was bad.
I likened it a lot in my mind that I could relate to was not wanting to rock the boat, trying to be a good sport in a fun environment at work where maybe it did cross lines all the time, but you didn't want to be the person to...
Yeah.
It was only really probably bothering you because you were the only girl there.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to be the person to be a downer and tell everybody to stop. So,
but like, we are looking at it through a 2024 lens.
I know.
And the crap people got away with up until about 5 minutes ago is ridiculous. Like, now you think there's no way that would fly on whatever it is. One, yes, there is way, and it still will. But the other thing is that and more people got away with all the time.
It's a secret society.
Every day.
Like, Hollywood's just like this secret society that anything goes, and a few people come forward, and people that have tried to come forward
have not been believed. Well, I like to think 2024 is just like the year of the tattletales. Like, I think that's going to catch on.
It's been brewing for a long time, but I think more and more stuff is coming to light.
And I have to think, I mean,
let's talk about Drake before we move on. Drake Bell.
Oh, okay. I was like, don't talk
about
Drake.
I didn't say that Drake. Drake Bell before we move on to the next. Cause
okay.
I don't want to.
Yeah. We're not going to skip Drake. Go ahead.
Okay. I think up until this show, I never heard what it was. Like, there was something, you know, I knew that there was something that happened to him and it was rumored or whatever, but nobody ever talked about it. And I thought, oh, it must not have been that bad. I know I'm horrible I feel horrible saying that. Like, I didn't know anything is bad. And I didn't know to what extent he was sexually abused.
So let's back up just a little bit. We're talking about the show Drake and Josh. So it's Drake Bell.
Drake Bell from Drake and Josh.
And he came forward he was kind of the star of the documentary.
Like 20 years ago.
Okay.
And a man was convicted for sexually assaulting him 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it didn't happen. And now all of a sudden people are listening. the merits of the case are out now and people are knowing what it's about. Right. So many people in Hollywood wrote letters. Now, I need to know more about that because I feel like somebody had to have lied to them about what this guy was on trial for, because I don't understand how all these people with really big names would write a letter saying he's sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Could they really know what he did and then say that? Like, I need a better explanation.
And do you think that's probably the crux of why Drake Bell, because I don't think he wanted to talk about his story. No. I don't think he wanted to put himself out there again. He's had a little controversy, and I don't think that's anything that is pertinent to what happened to him. So I don't even know. But do you think that's why he probably sat down and did what he did and talked about it for the first time?
I do think it is.
Yeah, just to make sure that people...
I think everything else is coming out. And it probably is eating at him, and he probably just needed it to be out there and done,
because I just... Yeah.
Yeah, you felt for him, and the thing that I guess I would have believed that anything goes in the 70s and 80s, right? Yeah. But when I saw that this man that was a dialogue coach or whatever, is Brian Peck, that he was on set, he was an actual character, like on the cast of The Amanda Show. Mm-hmm. Like he was on the show, and he's the person that molested Drake Bell when he was on The Amanda Show. And I was like... Even after he was convicted of doing that, he still could get jobs working with kids.
I do not understand.
How does that happen?
Some sort of weird loophole. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you what the loophole is, because it's in episode 5, and it's the only thing I learned in episode 5.
Okay.
One of the kids said that there's a loophole in the law that says that as long as there's a parent on set, that there's no background checks necessary for any of the people that work on the set.
Have those laws changed?
No.
Wow.
And even if your parents on the set, that doesn't mean there are any times that they're not there. You know what I mean? And that person might be somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he said it was like creepy, like this guy was showing up to his concerts, which Drake was not a musician, like for real.
No, but
you know,
he kind of tried. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And he did like little festivals or whatever. And this guy came to his show like somewhere, and his dad was like, that was weird. Like, what was he doing there?
Well, his dad, that was a heartbreaking part of the documentary. His dad knew that this guy was not to be trusted. And I don't know what was going on with Drake's mom and dad's relationship. I know they were divorced, but for some reason, the dad said, okay, I won't take you to your show. I'll let your mom do it. But he said to the mom, whatever you do, don't leave him alone with that guy. He gives me the creeps. And what was the first thing she did was, oh, it was more convenient. He was going there anyway. You know, I'll drive him. And then suddenly he was, oh, it's too far to go home. He can spend the night here. And what looked like convenience. And she just said, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that broke my heart.
And then when Drake said that he called his dad and said that the guy that he had been charged and, you know, whatever, and he was going to be busted. And his dad was like, thank God it wasn't you. It didn't happen to you. Mm. Not knowing that he was the one.
It very much happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
It was heartbreaking.
It was tough to watch because you could tell, although at the end you could tell that they have a good relationship. Drake and his dad.
And there's so much that goes into that. You don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And he's kept this secret that wasn't his to keep. You know what I mean? Like, I think setting it out there, giving it some fresh air, he can go do what he wants. And I think he might have more opportunities that maybe he didn't have before because of
that. Well, I'm hoping so, because I know, like Kim alluded to, like he's been in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
And he kind of sounds like maybe he was doing some of the same things that had happened to him, like grooming people or, you know. And then I'm not saying it's right, but I'm like... After seeing that documentary,
psychologically, you
understand it.
Yeah.
You see how it could get to that point. So, I was hoping for him at least that.
Yeah. That he deserves to be, I don't know, to be believed.
Yes.
And to be given maybe a second chance.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
I do need to bring up the one thing that I thought was the most egregious of things that they showed. They showed the Brian Peck guy on set of all that. Do you remember what his character's name? his shtick on the show.
Yeah,
I forget.
Kim, let me tell you, he was Pickle Boy.
Oh, gee, many Christmas.
And he would, they were showing outtakes of, you know, oh, here's this. And he would, like, one time he was carrying a platter of humongous pickles and sticking them through a hole to Ray Romano. What was Ray Romano doing there?
I thought you meant the one whose name was, like, Taintsworth or something.
Oh, that's
oh, sorry. Keep in mind that there was a kid on Growing Pains that was named Boner. So
yeah. You know he worked on that set.
Yes,
Brian Peck worked on the Growing Pains set.
That's probably why he was named that.
Ew.
And the people from Growing Pains were people that wrote letters for him.
Yes, and they looked so stupid.
Okay,
Alan Thicke.
There were a lot of like that. That's. Yeah. Okay. You could really take a deep dive into that.
So I was shocked that Everybody Loves Raymond had anything to do with that show. Like, why was he on the show?
Yeah. There was a lot of crossover back then. If something was a hit you're trying show,
to,
you had people.
You're trying to get yourself in
but
the door.
But taking a pickle through a hole. That's from a grown man. That's weird.
That's crazy.
That's pretty overt. I'm like, I picked up on that.
I don't even like to say the word pickle.
I think it was just supposed to be zany, or I don't know.
Zany.
I'm not saying it was
zany. Wow.
I'm just saying, like, that's what he probably. I hope that's what Ray Romano thought. I hope he didn't go.
No,
this is super pervy. Let's do this.
Yeah,
I'm in. Sign me up for the perv parade.
I'm here for the zany.
So yeah, but he should have known when he had to say that man's name was Pickle Boy that maybe it was pervy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm laughing about it, but Pickle Boy bothered me. And
yeah.
Oh, the other thing, the Growing Pains set, did you get very uncomfortable with the footage of he and Leonardo DiCaprio when he was like 11 or 12 being all buddy, but like people filming
that?
Yeah,
I've seen that footage before, and it's just that man is so gross. Not Brian Peck. I mean, he's just, what a predator. He's gross.
And the fact that he thought nobody would tell, I guess, who?
Because nobody told.
We could name a list of
25 years. Nobody told.
A list of people. Think of how many people Bill Cosby drugged and what's his name.
Everyone always thinks people aren't going to tell.
Yeah.
Well, and Hollywood has that money factor.
Yep. Harvey Weinstein. Yeah.
You're getting people.
That's why I'm saying 2024 is the year of the tattletale.
Yeah. Be a tattletale.
Epstein list.
Yep.
Let's talk about it. Diddy list. Let's see the videos.
Are we moving on to Diddy?
No, I'm not ready to move on.
Okay.
Cat Williams on Shannon Sharpe's podcast.
Oh, I know that man that everybody thinks is crazy, by the way.
He's smart as hell.
He predicted this like a while ago.
First of all, I wanted to say I was out of town this weekend, and it was a huge sadness for me not to be able to go to the Cat Williams show. He was in Indiana on Sunday, but then I saw on TikTok, and I know that everything on TikTok is true, so I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a lady made a video that said the Cat Williams show in Indiana got cut short because there was a fight in the audience, and Cat Williams like, good night everybody, and left.
That makes sense.
Did it make sense? Does that check out with you?
He's kind of a, I think he draws controversy.
He does.
He's a little nutty. But
and he's little.
Yeah.
He's little.
He's petite.
He's not only, yeah.
So Cat Williams was spouting off all sorts of things. Yeah. And then this documentary. So I just feel as though if you are a white man that wields any power and have ever done anything wrong, this might not be your year.
You better watch yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure every guy is like, oh no, who's talking? Yeah, they're gonna get in some big trouble. Tracy, what did you when you were watching the documentary and after, you know, Drake Bell talked about his thing, mm-hmm. did you have any other takes on
the other parts? Were the disparity in the attention that the African Americans, mm-hmm. that there was one male and one female, and that was it. So they were underrepresented. Again, not anything I would have maybe been attuned to at the time, but now in hindsight, knowing how they might have felt like that, and then that the young boy was put in body suits regularly.
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
Where his privates were on display.
Yes.
And
what was the footage?
That was his costume.
What was the costume?
Oh,
because it was so bad.
It was like, I can't remember what it was called. It was a nose.
Yeah, it was like
it was like a big nose.
Noses
but it
were
looked,
supposed to be.
It looked like
insinuate
male
something else.
Genitalia. And it, did you guys like how I said that properly?
Yes.
Yes.
He had some like his shoulders.
That was on his shoulders. Those were noses, but they didn't look like noses with nostrils.
That poor
and it was
kid.
On his no. shirt. It was like, yeah. And in hindsight, again, who was in charge?
Who
was
exactly.
saying, you know what? Nope, that's not
no
a good
way.
Idea.
We cannot do that. No.
Yeah,
and everybody was like, yep, it's been approved. It's from the top, whatever, you know, like moving on along. So I felt sorry for them, too.
Me too.
That was another part that hit me pretty hard.
There was another African-American female that came on the last episode that said that in, I don't know if it was in the Amanda show or all that, but they had a thing where it must have been Amanda because they were talking about it was Amanda Bynes. Her character was doing like a spit take, but when she did the spit take, she kept spitting it directly in
yes.
this girl's
yes.
face. And they
yes.
did it like four or five times. And she said, you know, I was getting really mad. And she was just told,
I know.
Hey, I know you're really mad, but you just need to, you know, she's the star of the show and I'll tell her not to do it anymore. But if she does, you know, try not to be mad.
Yeah.
To like a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I agree.
Okay. And the other relationship that they talked about on the fifth episode that I told you you didn't need to watch, but this was actually good, was one of the African-American men. He might have been the one that had to wear the body mm-hmm. suits when they didn't renew his contract for all that. He was 13.
Yes.
And he got so mad because he thought the reason they didn't keep him was because his mom kept speaking up on his behalf, like she's supposed to.
Which yeah. is probably why they didn't keep him.
Right.
And in a 13-year-old mind, he doesn't
so
understand that.
They correct. Came back on together. She said their relationship from the moment the people fired him until the documentary came out, they had been on the outs.
God.
So this man has kids.
Years.
But yeah. he couldn't let go of...
They just...
That,
whatever was
yeah,
already
was
going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. And the one thing, and I thought this was wonderful, the one thing that brought them back together was this documentary. And I thought, well, if for no other reason yeah. to do the documentary,
yeah,
bringing a mom and her son, because you could tell he was like, as an adult watching this and seeing other kids, you know, adults that were with me talk about what their experience was as a kid. Now I get how wrong
yeah.
it was and how right she was for speaking up. For me, it was just really touching. I'm like,
yeah, that is.
I agree.
But it was heartbreaking that drove a wedge between a mom and her kid for over 20 years. That seems a little much. The other thing is I'm mad about Dan Schneider ruining one of my all-time favorite movies from when I was in high school. I did not put it together until this came out that he played the fat kid Ricky in Better Off Dead. You know, the people that have
yes,
the French.
I didn't know that either. I want
and
my $2.
Like, yeah.
yeah.
I'm like, damn it.
I know. He just kind of, he just worked his way into anything.
And then he was on that bad show
he
head of the class.
His way
he's just
weaseling.
Gross.
He's just gross. That's true.
Now, and I will say again, I'm not defending him. He has made a statement since this came yeah. out. And he said.
Who?
Dan Schneider.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
That,
I'm not saying it was a lot,
it
but
was
he acknowledged
that it happened.
What they were saying and said, I would do things very differently now. I'm not saying that's good job on him. I'm just saying it's better than what a lot of the creepos do, which is nothing.
Right.
Or they vehemently deny.
Or they
the
deny.
Accusations
yeah.
that never, you know.
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
he did in his apology video was not apologize, one. And two, which is kind of the key to a good apology video. But two, he did exactly what he did with the writing of the show. He just kind of walked the line.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything, but it was inferred. So it's almost like he said words that didn't really mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's smarmy in that he cannot be direct because he knows
no,
he's a
creep. No, he's not going to incriminate himself.
Well, too late.
I'm sure an attorney wrote his word for word what he was going to say.
Yeah.
And do you know that he actually reached out to some of those child stars to ask if they would give him a quote for his apology video that said
that's just good things about him. Like, you know, like narcissistic to not even tendencies know. Where he's not even self-aware to think that that.
Yeah. It was one of the African-American girls.
Oh, just so gross.
She's like, yeah, he did call me and he asked me for a quote of support. Mm-hmm. And I just told him I was terrified of you.
Yeah, no.
For him to be so dumb not to know who he's hurt.
Yeah.
That's bad. That is bad. Kim, did you have any other takeaways from the documentary, either overall or just specific?
You know, I think that this brought to light a lot of people having a little bit of interest in Amanda Bynes, mm-hmm. and just her story. And, you know, I think they reached out to a lot of people. And this is not, I don't even know what, I think she was involved in some type of network. Jenny Garth, I think, that made a statement that basically they had asked her about him. And I don't think she was anything Nickelodeon related, but I think she must have been in stuff that he, and she said, I never want to speak his name a day in my life. Yes. So she wouldn't really state anything, but she was just very like, I don't want to talk about it. And Amanda Bynes, God love her. And you guys would, and people would remember her. How old was she? Well, like 13.
Yeah.
I kind of did a little biography on her. She, in 1996 was on the show All That, and she made such a, you know, ratings. They gave her own show, The Amanda Show, in 1999. And that show starred Drake and Josh. So, she won like 3 Kids Choice Awards, blah, blah, blah. So from 1999 to the present, basically her entire life just spiraled out of control. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, Hollywood, and oh, you know, she got sucked into Britney Spears. And, I think that there's been some underground talk, and I think from her, just to people that are out there that really dig deep and dive deep into things, that there was definitely stuff that happened to her, and that her parents were highly involved in what happened to her, and, you know, hid it away and did not protect her, and that the conservatorship that she was put under was more to keep her quiet than anything. That she, you know, still feels to this day that she can't freely speak. And I think now she's in a world of mental health issues and just the effects of everything that happened to her through the years, that she's a shell of the person that she was.
Well, I didn't watch the show, and I was telling you, like, the clips from the documentary were like the first I've seen of her as a young girl. And then Tracy sent me her Instagram or something, and I would never have known that's the same person.
No, you would not.
I don't know if she's had a lot of surgeries.
She has had some facial, but she was
dead behind the eyes.
Dead behind the eyes. And I think that she maybe has the effect of medication.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. And I think that now, much the same way that when we could have a whole episode on Britney Spears, that she's not believable. That people don't.
I believe her now.
I do now. Yeah. But I think that because she kind of goes off on these tangents, or she's kind of, you know, that people have a very hard time feeling sorry for her or not believing, but I 100% believe her, and I 100% that she's in the state that she is in today because of that industry.
It's so sad.
Yeah. So it's very sad, especially if you really like look at, I mean, this bubbly young, all this talent and all this, you know.
Yeah, she was funny and her timing was great.
Yeah. And so, yeah. But I didn't realize that, like, her last movie was with Channing Tatum, and I think it was called She's the Man. And I kind of remember the movie. I mean, my girls, mostly Maddie, was more into,
I think my mom,
like,
saw that and told me she was adorable in that.
Yeah, so I mean, that was kind of her last thing. And then she's, you know, she did make statements back in, like, 2013 that her dad had, like, sexually and mentally abused her, but then she recanted it quickly after that. And then she went on to say how much she appreciated them and how much they saved her life. It's all, you know, I don't know. It's just really, really sad. So that's kind of what I think people really wish that she would have come forward and that she would have said, but I think she's afraid of them. I mean, I think she's afraid of her parents as well. repercussions that would happen if she spoke up.
And I think, you know, we're here talking about this, and kind of me, at least, it's still in shock that something like this could happen in this day and age. But we were talking, I know, on another podcast, because I always like to talk about Corey Feldman when I can, because I find him to be,
as do I, but
absolutely just fascinating. All of these kids prior to the year of the Tattletale that have been making allusions to or flat out saying, hey, I was sexually assaulted when I was a kid on the movie set or whatever. And people just,
I don't believe you,
not believing them and dismissing them and painting them in a crazy corner.
They get dismissed because they're acting out and because they are psychologically damaged and because they turn to drugs and alcohol or they have mental breakdowns, and then they aren't believed.
Yes.
They're viewed as crazy and that they're just, you know, want their second chance at fame.
So now I think
do I get to speak on behalf of Corey Feldman?
I would like for you to read a statement that you made
in defense and love of Corey Feldman.
Let's hear it.
Okay. I don't know. He breaks my heart.
Me too.
And I couldn't be happier for him. Follow him on TikTok. He's out there doing these shows at probably not even a county fair. I don't even know where it is, but he's on stage and he's singing and dancing and he's doing what he wanted to do. But I need to backtrack and say that he was on a show in the early 2000s called The Two Corys. It was Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
Haim.
Sorry.
That's all right.
And I knew that. I don't know why I said that. Anyway.
Was it reality TV?
It was scripted, but reality. Okay. You know, one of those that's semi-reality.
Okay.
And on that show, I think it was on the show that the other Corey, not Feldman, Haim, said that he was sexually assaulted by multiple men in the industry.
Yep. Charlie Sheen.
Well, he did say Charlie Sheen. Yeah, he named a name.
Yeah.
But he also said others. And they were Hollywood elite or big or whatever it was.
Yep.
And lo and behold, his show was shut down. Not long after that, they were no longer in business.
That's a wrap.
Yep, that's about all they could say. At one point, he said that he had seen the dark side of Michael Jackson. Now, I don't know that he said much more. I don't know that if there's been a lot of description, but that's what he would refer to as the dark side of Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Let me see my other notes here on that. He made a documentary, My Truth. I don't know if it was ever released. I can promise you I'm going to look. If it exists, I will be watching it. I don't know that it was ever released because, again, they name names and people just weren't going to back it. And you need money to get anything out there. Now it's a little bit easier to get information out there and things, but 20 years ago, no. Not going to happen. And then I want to say it was about 10 years ago, but I'm not positive, maybe longer than that. Barbara Walters told him that he was doing damage and a disservice to the industry by spreading these accusations about sexual assault. Yes. And in an interview. And,
Barbara.
You know, back then, if Barbara Walters said something against you, that was, again, another mark.
You're blacklisted.
Yeah. Nobody believes you. Again, nobody believes you. And she's saying, how dare you pretty much say these things, making the industry look bad. That's because it's bad, Barbara. Babs.
Babwa.
Wawa.
Well, I think that's one thing that we can take away from this is that usually when kids say something,
I know,
they're probably telling the truth. Yeah. So, because they're kids and kids do that.
If you see Corey Feldman in concert near you, go and support him. I will if I get the opportunity.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm telling everyone else to.
I feel a road trip coming on. I think he'd be on the podcast. I'm being very serious.
We might be able to get him to call in.
I mean, why not give him a voice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's something, Tracy, you need to work on in the in-between time. Post-production. Reach out to your people. Reach out to your people. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on Up for Grabs. I hope that you join
we're
us.
We're not done.
What, you have more about Corey Feldman?
No, but we had one more little piece, don't we?
Who?
Diddy?
What?
That's a whole other podcast.
I am not doing a whole podcast on him. Well, I'm 2 minutes.
How far are we?
Because we don't know.
And we're just going to
say. Okay, real quick. Let's go. Let's go.
We're just going to have a little extended up for grabs. So
this
we're
is
done talking
after
about
hours.
Quiet on the set. This is the after hours.
After the show.
No, it's not, because that sounds gross. You damn creepers. We're not
just like a ditty party.
We do. We have maybe another 5 to 7 minutes that we have to talk
about. Tell us something.
I mean, I don't.
Because I don't know any
news,
details either.
Sean. Puff Daddy, Diddy, Combs,
whatever
you
want to
call
him.
His house was raided. His estate was raided by the feds. And it's been very curious as to what the heck's going on.
Yeah. And honestly, there's not that much to say yet, because a lot of it has to come out and a lot of it may never come out. It all started with a girlfriend, former girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Who he settled out of court with. But
he did settle out of court.
But because she came forward and, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to believe her.
Basically, the accusations are that he is sex trafficking young people. Mm-hmm. At first, I thought it was all males, but that is not what I've been reading since then. So I don't really understand. But all I know is lots of people in the industry are distancing themselves.
Yes.
And they're like, nope, I don't know him. Never seen him before in my life.
Diddy who?
And a lot of people are saying, like, you knew when it was time to leave a Diddy party because it was going to get bad.
There were a couple, like
what is bad? We don't know. But
older African-American men that had been in the industry quite a long time and in that scene that basically would leave the parties because they
were
like,
when it got to be 12:30, you better get out.
Because we knew what was going on. So they have arrested and had questioned his drug mule, which they basically coined him as that. I don't know, some white guy.
Yeah, he used to play on the Syracuse basketball team. That was all very weird.
Yes, and when I said white guy, that came out wrong. I didn't want to
think
that I was profiling. God, that sounded really wrong. You know, all white guys are drug dealers, but no, I'm not. But anyways, I wish maybe we could take that out.
I'm quoting you on that.
Nope.
Anyways. and they have questioned his sons. Who knows what about a couple ex, I don't know how many baby mamas he has, but they did talk to one and she was sticking up for him. But, you know,
really?
you just wonder why, a fear or
again, money.
She's getting, you know, she's,
they also, I mean, they made it seem like it wasn't like he could just name names and tell stories, that there were videos.
Who knows?
Yes, they did say videos.
You know,
and so he's got videos of these Hollywood major players doing things with minors.
Mm-hmm.
What is he getting in return? Like, what kind of blackmail?
I know.
It's like the Scientology.
It'll be very interesting.
That's why I feel like this is a whole other.
It's not, though. We don't have any information.
But when we do, we're going to come back to Diddy.
Yeah, we'll definitely come back when we have more information.
It's
going
to get buried. He's not going to get he'll get away with it, because that's what happens.
Unless more people come forward out of the woodwork, like the girl that accused him of drugging her and physically abusing her, she's probably signed a non-disclosure now.
True.
I mean, she settled with him. He did have, and I'm not opening up anything that like a conspiracy theory, but he had a girlfriend / wife that died a few years ago that was the mother to his twins.
Mysteriously.
And you know, she died. And I've been thinking about this. It's been like she died of pneumonia.
Hmm.
And that was just kind of weird. And I'm not.
What is it? 1892?
I'm not saying anything other than the fact that
scurvy.
What if he had her drugged? And what if, I don't know. He's ringing a lot of the R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's being compared to R. Kelly a lot. So
I'll tell you, I look forward to seeing what happens with that. But I'm very curious to see if there is any fallout to any of these people that were connected to him in any way.
Right.
Because one of them was Oprah. And I thought, oh, my gosh, not Oprah.
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
It could be anybody.
Yeah. But I promise, because we know so much about it, we will come back. We will come back to Diddy.
Yes,
when things
will.
Are more,
you know, our listeners are dying to know.
They really are.
Big demographic.
Now, can I sign off?
Yes, you may.
Yes.
You sure?
I said go ahead, didn't I?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us today on Up for Grabs. And we hope that you come back and see us again. Bye.